Welcome to Sensical Nonsense. My name is Caitlin.
And my name is Kyle. Join us while we talk about topics ranging from current world events, our lives and perspectives on it, as well as our experiences as we travel the world.
Thanks for stopping by. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back. It's been a long time.
It has been. It's been a couple weeks.
A couple weeks. It's been like 5 weeks.
Almost a month. A month. Since we recorded an episode?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Why haven't we been recording episodes, Kyle?
What? You're not going to put that on me. That's not on me.
No, I'm asking.
We've just been lazy.
Yeah.
And we've been traveling. I mean, we've been going to a bunch of small, like, not small cities, but we've been doing, like, small trips.
To a bunch of different countries.
Yeah, like 4 days, 6 days, 5 days. So we really haven't had the energy to sit down and really record any of
our content. We haven't really wanted to either.
No, we haven't. We've been traveling and we've been wanting to enjoy our stuff. The last thing we really want to do is to, like, sit down and not do what we want to do, because this is what this trip's all about, right? So
experiences.
But here we are. Today we wanted to record one.
We did.
So we're recording one. Today's episode is about the finances of travel.
Yes.
Because we've gotten a lot of messages
about how we did it, like if we saved up, how much we saved up. Wherever we travel, we kind of get asked, like, what our jobs are, or what we're doing to afford this trip. Whenever we meet someone new, it's kind of like a natural question.
Mm-hmm.
What you do for a living.
Well, first off, I mean, I want to start off by saying that regardless, like, what we've prioritized in terms of our trip has been food.
Correct.
Because we both love food.
Huge foodies.
And the location of our stay, so, like, our Airbnbs and things like that. And we haven't really compromised too much on, like, the same kind of lifestyle of us living back home. Like, we've stayed in pretty nice Airbnbs. We stayed in a couple hotels, thanks to your discount, which is really good. You get a discount for working at Ruth's Chris, so that's good. But, I mean, Europe is not cheap.
No.
It's very, very, very expensive. We are paying a lot of money to be doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want it to come across like we are affording this with ease and this is something that isn't weighing on our minds. I mean, we think about and talk about finances and how much money we can spend per day and all this stuff quite often.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's very easily affordable.
No.
This type of trip that we're doing is probably going to be the most expensive vacation.
Ever?
Ever. Maybe. Depending. I mean, if we fucking win the lottery or some shit like that,
maybe, and
become loaded, then I'll definitely go on a more expensive trip than this. But
I mean,
it's been hard.
If you're looking for, like, a budget trip, like, Europe is not the place to do it. Anyone knows that Europe is one of the most expensive places to travel, just because cost of living is pretty on par.
Yeah, with Canada. In the United States as well, in some areas.
The cheapest country we've probably been to is Portugal.
Yeah.
Portugal
and Spain are pretty on par with their economies. Their economies are pretty similar.
Yep.
So they're both relatively cheaper than the other places we've been.
Correct. But, like, Paris and Amsterdam and Italy and even Greece.
Even Greece, yeah. Right now we're in Athens, and it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely not, like, again, it's not Costa Rica.
No.
I mean, Costa Rica is pretty expensive, too, but, well, depending, again, on, I think it all just depends. Like, when you're planning a trip like this or wanting to do something like this, you need to figure out what kind of trip you want. Whether, like we said, we're prioritizing food and, like,
location
and stuff like that, or you want to prioritize experiences, so you have to budget for that because you have to pay for simple things over here, like bathroom uses and stuff like that, and train stations. So you have to factor that in. And then if you want to do, like, see all the museums and all the sites and all that kind of stuff, that is, like, a whole other category of expenses in its own.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a huge part of our like the transportation, like you said,
yeah,
a huge part of our budget, like a huge part of how much we've spent, because doing those short stays, like a 4-day stay, like we stayed 4 days in Paris and then we went up to Amsterdam. So like, I mean, staying 4 days in Paris isn't cheap, but then like the transportation from Paris to Amsterdam, then we stayed in Amsterdam for 4 days, and then the transportation from Amsterdam down to
Italy
would like when you're paying for transportation where it's like $100, $150 all in to get from one place to one place, and you're doing that every five, 6 days, it gets really, really expensive. So, I mean,
so we definitely had to do some saving before this trip.
Yeah, how did we afford this trip? How did you afford this trip?
I sold my body. I have an OnlyFans that no one knows about.
That's a lie.
No. I'm a server / bartender / cart girl back home. So I was lucky enough to get a job working at a golf course in Niagara before this trip, for the summer leading up to this trip, because we left in January.
Yes.
And I was working at one of the nicest golf courses in Niagara called Grand Niagara. And was lucky enough to get some pretty good tips. And then about halfway through the summer, I picked up a second job as a server at Ruth's Chris, which is, again, a more high-end steakhouse in Niagara Falls. Anyone who's worked in Niagara Falls as a server understands the money that is there that can be made. So, yeah, I was just making very good money,
obscene amounts of cash,
between the golf course and Ruth's Chris. And I just started putting that away, because we decided around October, right after my concussion,
yes,
that we wanted to travel. Kind of like a get me out now scenario.
And we did it pretty soon too.
Like we did it. We did not give ourselves a lot to save.
We planned this trip
in October.
October, but we didn't spend a lot of time planning this trip. Like we planned it in October, and then like we started planning in October, left in January.
Yeah.
Like so 3 months.
It was not long at all.
No, it was like 8-10 weeks and we were gone.
Yeah, so that's how I afforded this trip. That was my savings. I saved up a decent amount of money. I saved up about 10 grand in cash from the summer up until we left. So yeah, I've been able to not work when I'm over here and kind of just focus on myself and what I want to do and hobbies and passions and focus on traveling. How did you save up for this trip?
Well, I've been, I don't really want to toot my own horn or anything like that, but I've always been pretty decent with my finances.
Yep.
I am in the accounting and finance-ish type industries. So, I mean, if I wasn't very good with my money, that would be shitty. But I've had a decent amount of savings for quite a long time. And then I've just kind of decided that I wanted to do this and I wanted to travel. And this is kind of what I decided I wanted to do with my money. There were a lot of times in my life where I thought that I was saving for a house, or I thought that I was saving for various different things, but then...
You thought you were saving for a house at one point?
Well, yeah, I thought I was, like, that's what I was saving my money for.
True.
Like, I was saving my money for buying a house and...
One day, yeah.
Doing things that a normal, quote-unquote, person would be doing, you know? Not blowing all my cash on a trip to Europe, you know what I mean? So... that's how I mean, I've kind of always been able to afford a trip like this. I've just never really had the balls to actually spend the money. I've always been a very, like, a little bit more of a conservative person. So I've always been worried about money, always been trying to make money in certain aspects of my life. So, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to spend the money on. So, I mean, but I worked for my family business. I've said that kind of multiple times throughout this podcast. I work for my family business, and that's allowed me to make a decent living and save that money. While I was able to also pick up a part-time remote job before I left to come on this trip, in about July or beginning of August.
Yeah, around there.
So it was about, I've had it for... About, what, is that 7 or 8 months?
Yeah.
So I got it like 5 months before we left. So that was really good. And I'm still working on that. And that's really good. I'm a subcontractor. So it's not even like I need to remote clock in or clock out or anything like that. I kind of just get to work whenever I want, just ensuring that I get the work done on a monthly basis. So it's literally the best case scenario for working remotely.
You lucked out with that.
I lucked out so huge. And that's the thing. Like, I got that job just by looking through Indeed and applying to literally every position I possibly could. The first one I got back, the first company I actually heard back from was this company. And it was advertised as a normal employment opportunity. It was advertised like there was no hint at being a subcontractor. There was no hint at not actually being an employee.
Interesting.
So the difference between being a subcontractor and employee is you're not actually employed by that company, so you don't get benefits. You actually have to generate your own invoices and send them to the owner of the business, and then they pay you that way, and you have to actually report it differently on your taxes because you don't pay taxes or regular employment taxes on the invoice that you send. So it takes a little bit more organizing in terms of like taxes and things along those lines, but I mean, it wasn't, the employment wasn't advertised, like it wasn't advertised as a subcontractor. I thought it was being an employee.
Did she do that on purpose? Did you ever ask her?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Well, she didn't know how to advertise for the position she was looking for. So she just created a normal employment position. It was advertised as like 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
At that time I was working full time for my family business, and I just, again, always been a little money hungry, and I always wanted to do the extra mile. I've always been looking for side hustles. I've always been
always been go, 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 go.
Never really been taking a break. So that's another aspect of what this trip has been about. But I mean, that's how I made my money. I made my money saving with my family business, and also saving the money that I was making with this remote job. And then currently I'm still working as I'm traveling. And I think that opportunity and the position that I have being a subcontractor is the best possible way to travel like this and work at the same time.
Yes, because we have met people who work remotely in that typical 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, but in a remote setting.
Yeah.
And it seemed like ass, just because like we met them at a hostel, and because of the time change and the companies they worked for, they were in the hostel in the bunk beds from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. So they got up early, did their stuff in the morning, and then worked. So like, again, still cool because you can work remotely, and they were still traveling, but
that's not ideal. You're wasting 9 hours of your day working. And I mean wasting, and you are making money and you're still working.
But they even said, like, we wish that we could do what you do in terms of like productivity, not how often you're punched in and how long
you're working for.
So,
I mean, that's how we've afforded this trip, obviously in two very different facets. Two different ways.
I work seasonally and depend on like the restaurant industry and stuff like that. And when I came over here, I said I was going to try to look for an online job. I kind of like stopped that after like the first like 4 weeks, not even 3 weeks, just because like I'm not that kind of person. Like I need to be socializing in order to be at my best self.
And not even just socializing, because you can socialize online.
Yeah.
And you have socialized online.
Yeah.
And done that sort of stuff. But you need like that person to person.
Yeah. And that's just what I enjoy for work.
Yeah.
Like I like being on my phone and socializing online and like dipping my toe into social media, but I also just for work, I can't see myself in any position where I'm not like one-on-one with people or like interacting with people. So obviously that's not really conducive to what our plan in Europe is, because we were moving around from place to place, and obviously a bar or a restaurant aren't going to hire you for like 4 days or 5 days or even 2 weeks. Like the first place, one of the second places we went was Lagos, Portugal, and we stumbled upon this sick bar called Tiger Bar that we ended up going to a bunch of times and becoming really good friends with the bartenders. And like the head bartender even like jokingly offered me a job in the summer, and I straight up asked him, I was like, would you hire someone that's gonna be somewhere less than a month? And he was like, no. So if you're looking to like be a travel bartender, and like there, it is possible, like people will hire you, pay you cash under the table, but you need to stay places for a month or two at a time.
And I mean, there are so many different factors to look into when looking for an employment opportunity like that too, right? I mean, there are bars and there are cities where you can get like a bar back position for the night and they'll just pay you cash. But again, yeah. You have to be doing that in a larger city.
And you have to be very social to try to get those opportunities.
Very social to get those opportunities because you have to seek them out because they're not always advertised on various websites.
No, not at all.
And you also got to do it during prime time. I mean, we're traveling to Europe
in the winter,
the off season in the winter. So it's not as busy in a lot of these large cities.
That's another financial thing that played into it.
Of course. I mean, a lot of these amusement things that we're doing, like museums and attractions and things like that, they're literally half price because we are traveling during the off season.
Yeah.
So when you travel during peak season, it doubles in price.
So that's another thing to take into consideration. Like when you're traveling somewhere, like are you traveling during the busiest season for them or are you traveling during like off times? Obviously, it would have been phenomenal if we were traveling and it was every day sunny and warm. Mm-hmm. We've kind of fallen into a few shitty weather places where we've been like, stuck places due to hurricanes.
That was Amsterdam. Yeah,
that was fun.
There was like three hurricane or storms in colliding. In like
24 hours, it was nuts.
They were colliding all three of them at the same time. So then
that's another thing you have to plan for.
Yeah. I mean, they were colliding.
Mm-hmm.
The three storms were colliding and we got stuck in Amsterdam. We actually had to stay 2 extra days in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
We had to stay in a hotel and we had to plan. So like that was completely unplanned, completely out of the ordinary. So that cost us a little bit more money as well to be able to do that.
You can't budget for that shit.
And you can't budget for that. So you have to like have a little bit of give in your budget, especially when you're traveling the way we are, which is a little less.
Or credit card.
Planned. Or have a credit card that you're willing to put money on, yes.
For emergency situations like that, like we obviously didn't have a choice. We had to get a hotel or we'd be
stranded
in a hurricane.
Yeah, exactly. So. And I mean, it sucked because we couldn't even go out and travel.
No. Like,
we couldn't even see any more of Amsterdam at that time because it was literally 100-kilometer winds.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even step outside and
walk without
blowing away. It was terrible. But, I mean, there has been a lot of financial differences in a lot of the countries that we've stayed. Like, in Portugal and Spain, it was a lot cheaper. But then when you get up to, like, the larger cities, like we said, like Paris,
Rome,
Barcelona, Amsterdam. Very, very, very expensive. So, like, the budget that we would have had for a week in Spain was literally 3 days in Paris. So, a budget that we would have had for a month in Portugal was a week in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So, like, it was...
It's true.
Because Barcelona was very expensive. And we didn't go to Madrid. Madrid's the capital of Spain. So, yeah. But that would have been on par with how expensive it was in Barcelona. Yeah. So... Definitely taking into consideration the cities that you're staying and how long you're staying for.
Mm-hmm.
And the countries, they have very... I mean, they are... All the countries that we visited are part of the EU, but there are still a lot of economic differences between all of these countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, taking that into consideration as well when deciding whether or not you can afford the place that you want to go.
Yeah.
So
whether or not you want to go out for dinner in certain cities. Like, when we were in Paris, we knew that it was going to be expensive. So we budgeted for going out for like one really nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that instead of going out for a bunch of little dinners. We bought and made food and then we went out for one specific dinner on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. And I mean, it's been a lot easier since we're dating now and
our finances are combined.
So it's a lot easier to make decisions and to... decide what we're going to be doing and stuff like that and attractions we're going to be doing. It's a lot easier to just like say, oh, do you want to do this? Yes. Okay. Grab from the same pile of money and go.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to say like, oh, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah. You owe me this much. And
you know, like it's just so much easier to have your cash combined, especially when you're traveling.
Yeah. And that's like regardless, even for like friends who are traveling, like you guys could do that, that's great.
Yeah.
It's just,
the money together.
We didn't do it until.
Yeah. We didn't do it until. We started dating. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, again, working remotely has been a huge aspect of the reason why and how I've been able to afford this trip. Yeah. And, like, me being so worried about money all the time, it's definitely helped my mental state of being able to travel the way we have. Because we, like I said, We haven't really, like, sacrificed. Like, we've been living the same lifestyle we have back home.
Yeah.
Making a lot more money working back home, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, working remotely has definitely helped me be able to say, hey, you know what? I can justify doing this. I can justify doing this and not be so worried about it all the time.
It really comes down to, like, a personality thing. Like, you're someone who's, like, I worry about money. But, like, I'm also the same person that's like, nah, fuck it, we'll worry about it later. Like, just, like, let's do it and then worry about it later. Which, I mean, can be good.
Can definitely be good.
It can be bad, too.
Very
so,
spontaneous
like,
and fun personality trait to have.
But sometimes, like, for me, it was budgeting that needed because I knew I didn't have the online job.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, it's like, okay, I saved up this money, so I'm not going to be frugal over here. Like, I'm going to spend because... As you say, money comes and goes.
Money does come and go. I mean, I get in moods when I say that, and I actually mean it, and I'm okay with saying it.
Yeah.
And then I get in other moods when it's like, money doesn't come and go. Money's never going to come back to me ever again. If I spend it, it's gone forever, and that's it. And sometimes I get into those moods as well. And those moods suck, but they do happen to the best of us.
I mean, oh, my like God, I said, yeah.
I'm very financially literate. I work extremely hard, but even the best people in those scenarios who are very good with their money, they still worry about money.
You know?
I mean, people who are very social, like yourself, sometimes do get worried about social situations. You know what I mean? Like, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you don't worry about being good at that thing, right? So
it's definitely, like, before you're leading up to a trip, you definitely have to do some budgeting. Like, I wouldn't have been able to pay off, like, any of my credit card debt before this trip because Kyle created me a budget sheet, like an Excel spreadsheet, which
was,
like... I do have
a very good budget sheet. If you want to buy it from me, it is for sale for $15.
$15.99.
It's very good. Reach out to me if you want it.
It was super helpful in helping me. Like, I came back home when I first moved home with, like, almost $6,000 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And I was able to pay it off in, like...
Yeah, 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah. Really I mean, I put you on a very strict financial
plan. Budget. But it was wild because I'm terrible. Well, I'm not terrible with my money. I'm just, I've never been a saver.
You've never prioritized it.
No, never. And I know that eventually I need to, but like right now I'm just not. So
you paying off your credit card debt in that amount of time
shows
that when you do prioritize it, you can do it.
And that was the thing, is it was very helpful to, like, really see it in front of me and, like, you enter in how much I was making and then actually see how much I could spend a day and how fast I could pay off, like, my card or my schooling or my car or whatever like that. So, like, honestly, seeing it for, like, if you're bad with money, because, like, I'm not great. I'm not bad. I'm just not great. But it's...
What's the budgeting aspect? It's very hard to
put it together if you're not, like, a math person. Again, like me, terrible at math, likes the finer thing in life, shit at saving, and money is money. So it helped to put it in front of you. So, yeah, definitely reach out to Kyle if you want this budgeting sheet, because it is actually very helpful to see it up front.
Yes. And I'm not a financial planner, but I can definitely assist anybody who's willing to open up about their finances with me. I'm a very trustworthy person.
Yeah.
I can definitely sign an NDA if you want to.
It makes your goals more attainable when you can see that they're achievable for anybody with any kind of budget. It may just take a little bit longer because, like, obviously being a server, you make cash tips, which is nice because it's not taxed and they're in your pocket right away.
Yes.
And then you were making really good money with your family company and a part-time job, so it's a grind. It's not easy at all, but it's worth,
like,
it.
I was working fucking 80 hours a week to travel for 6 months before I was even able to to remotely be okay
with
spending the amount of money we were going to spend.
Yeah. And I was like, and there's hobbies, like, find hobbies that can, like, make you money. Like, I try to, like, I'm obviously, again, not trying as hard here because I'm trying to
be
in the moment and travel. But, like, when I'm home, I was working a little bit on, like, my social media and reaching out to brands and stuff like that. Obviously, that's a little bit harder because, like, no European brands want to work with me and no other brands can send me shit because I'm in Europe and I'm moving every 4 days.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been easy, but, like, find a hobby or a passion that interests you that could possibly make some money. And, like, I'm not talking, like, $20 an hour, I'm talking like maybe a couple hundred every couple months.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, same with me. Like right now I'm catching, if you follow me on Instagram, at Kyle Robert Robinson.
Nice freaking name drop there, bud.
I've been posting a lot of drone footage, so I bought a drone before we left, so I've been practicing that and catching a lot of drone footage and stuff. I mean, I've crashed two since we've been here. No, well, one was in Florida before,
right, week, before our trip.
Week before we left to come here, so that kind of sucked. And then I crashed one, like, literally last week. Landing it in Italy, and it blew into the water. If you saw Caitlin's story, I actually dived into the Adriatic Sea to go get it.
Reach
out
to me.
Water was absolutely fucking freezing, by the way. Wouldn't recommend.
Reach out to me if you want the video.
But I got it, and my SD card was fine, which was great, but the drone was shit, so I had to buy another one. The drone was gone. So, I mean, it's definitely been one expensive hobby.
Yep.
But I'm loving it, and it's a hobby, and I enjoy doing it, regardless of if I make money from it. But again, another thing that I'm thinking of doing when I get home is compiling all that information in creating a website, creating a YouTube, doing all of the things that you need to do to start a legitimate business, and reach out to real estate agents and other brands and other companies out in the area and try to make some money off it. So that's one example of what I'm going to do when I get home to try to turn one of my hobbies into making some money.
And yeah.
I think nowadays when you're trying to turn a hobby into something that you could potentially make money into, it's very important to remember that, you know, to not put so much pressure on yourself if it doesn't happen right away. I mean, at the end of the day...
It literally won't.
It literally won't, first off. And second off, it started as a hobby. So don't let the pressure of wanting to make money from the hobby deter you away and ruin your hobby in the first place.
Yes.
That's another huge factor.
Oh, God, yeah. And, like, that's huge, especially because, like, if you let it ruin your hobby, then it's, like, it's so self-combusting to let something that you once liked to be ruined because of money. So definitely remember that when pursuing the monetization of your hobby. But
yes, exactly. So, I mean, it hasn't been cheap.
Nope.
It hasn't been easy.
Nope.
But it can be done.
Yes.
So I would say...
And it's fucking worth every penny.
Oh my God. The things that we've seen and the things that we've done have been absolutely great. The people we've met have been fantastic. We've met some really great people.
The memories made.
I mean, Paris was really great. I mean, we left off the last episode was Lagos, but we recorded that before the robbed in Lisbon episode, so
it's been a while.
Lisbon, we went from Lisbon, where did we go after that? We went to Seville for 4 days, and
then we went to Barcelona.
It was beautiful. I mean, Seville was kind of a lot of Portugal vibes, so
yeah,
if you're going from Portugal to Spain, I would maybe just...
We liked Portugal over Spain. Spain was gorgeous, but out of the two, very similar vibes, we liked Portugal better. Just the people were so fucking nice. It was so clean. It was gorgeous. Everyone was friendly. It was a fucking time.
Yeah, it was a time. I mean, Portugal was very, very clean, so we loved it.
So then
after Seville, we went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Barcelona, I fell in love with Barcelona.
Yeah, you really liked Barcelona.
I loved Barcelona. Barcelona was like a great big city.
Yeah.
But it wasn't condensed.
It was like Toronto.
It was like Toronto, but spaced out. The streets were bigger. There were small streets where there were actually no cars that went down them all at all.
Yeah.
There was restaurants all the way along. And then in the middle of the street, there was like seats.
Yeah.
Where these restaurants had like outdoor patios in the middle of the street. And you were like right next to another restaurant or something like that. So that was a really cool vibe. The beach was beautiful, even though, again, we're traveling in the off-season, so it wasn't really that busy.
Chile.
And it was a little chilly, yes. But Barcelona was absolutely beautiful. I mean, the sights and the buildings and
the architecture. Gaudi.
Yeah.
I think I'm pronouncing that right. Gaudi. He's an artist all over Barcelona.
Yeah.
Fucking sick.
Barcelona, yeah. So that was really nice.
And then we went from Barcelona to...
Went from Barcelona to Paris, right?
Yes.
Paris was...
4 days.
4 days. We were there for Valentine's Day, like we said.
I really liked Paris. It's busy, as fucking
busy
shit.
As fuck. Like, oh my god, so many people in Paris, and probably the most expensive place we've been.
Yes.
The richest place we've been.
Yes.
The
but
stores and the people, the way they dress, it's just like,
I bought my
money,
first
money, money.
Designer handbag in Paris.
She's very excited about it.
So
it's literally her baby.
Paris will forever have my heart because I bought her there, and she is my favorite thing ever.
Except for Maisie.
Except for Maisie.
Well, maybe that's debatable.
We'll
change the subject. We'll talk about that. Sorry, Maisie. Hopefully Maisie's not listening.
Close your ears.
Then we went from Paris to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. I also fell in love with Amsterdam.
Loved Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, the vibes were great.
Fucking vibes were insane. And they say that it's even better in the summer. It's like, or even without COVID, like we were getting tattoos and the lady was like, this place is usually, even in the winter, like fucking adult Disneyland.
Yeah.
The red light district was like, everyone talks about it.
Yeah.
It's naked women in windows. But
it was
then
wild.
You don't, until you see it, like you hear it and you're like, yeah, naked women in windows. But then you see it and you're like, what am I seeing right now? Like it's straight up red lights in windows and they're
like they're right there,
window
they're right
posing
behind the glass.
And like talking to you through the windows and opening the door. They're sitting there scrolling on social media.
Some of them are gossiping between the two of them.
Yeah.
Because like some of them work at the same place.
It's wild.
What really caught me was the amount of security guards outside of all these places.
I loved it.
There were so many security guards. And that just proved to me that the legalization of that industry made it so much more safer for girls in that industry.
Mm-hmm. To allow them to make money.
Allow themselves to make money and it not turn into something sour and turn into something that's like ugly and can see.
Dangerous.
And dangerous, exactly. So that was really, really cool to see. And the
legal sex work.
The legal sex work and how the industry is, it's different than you would expect. You would expect it to be a little dirty and a little grimy and all
this
stuff.
It wasn't
like
at all.
But it wasn't at all. It was very clean. It was very safe.
Kind of felt like a sex Vegas.
Yeah,
like everything
like
was lit up.
You have to say no to these people because like the security guards were trying to lure you in to see a peep show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool to be able to see that aspect of it, but it was also wild to just see like
they're just trying to like
fuck everybody.
Doesn't matter your gender. Like if you make eye contact with them, that was the thing. It's like I wanted to stare at these girls because again, they're all gorgeous girls. That's why I was so confused because again, you have this idea and then it's like, oh my god, it's wild and. It was a very, very, very cool experience.
A very cool experience. And I mean, one nerdy thing that I found really cool in Amsterdam is the first ever 3D printed bridge is there.
In the red light district.
And it was very, very cool to
see. Yeah, there's naked women beside him and he's like, oh my god, but the bridge. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm staring at the naked women more than you are.
Cool. I like the bridge. I'm a nerd, okay? first ever 3D printed bridge.
It was cool.
Like, there was a lot of foot traffic on it. It was really, really stable.
It was really cool.
Sorry. Anyways, after Amsterdam, where did we go after that? I mean, we did have our delay in Amsterdam, so we had to stay another 2 days.
Because we were going to go to...
We were going to go to Lake Como.
Yes, which is right on the border of Italy and Switzerland.
And I was so excited for that.
I was so excited for that, too.
But we had to cancel that so that we could go to Bari, Italy, which is where we went after that.
Southern Italy.
Which was in southern Italy. And that was the 13-hour train ride.
Yeah, overnight.
That was like a 24-hour day of just trains.
Yeah.
We took like 5 trains. One of them was 13 hours overnight. And that really sucked.
It
was horrible.
Bari was gorgeous.
Bari was gorgeous. I have a drone video that I'm going to post about Bari if you want to, again, Kyle Robert Robinson at Instagram.
Oh my God.
If you want to see Bari. Bari was beautiful.
Very palm trees, beachy, fisherman town.
We thought it was going to be a lot smaller than it was.
Yeah, it turned out to be like a luxury beach town, like Gucci, Prada, Louis V everywhere. I was like, what is this place?
But I mean, it was really cool. I mean, we were exploring the city and we were in like 1800 Italy vibes, like very narrow streets,
old buildings,
very cobblestone-y, shops and little restaurants and cafes kind of on every odd corner. And then you'd walk like two blocks out of that area and then you would be in the palm trees, Hollywood, Louis V, Gucci stores. And it was wild.
You can get both vibes. And that was so cool. Yeah, I think that was my favorite part about it.
Yeah, that definitely was my favorite part.
You felt like you were in like old time iconic Italy. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait, no, I'm in 2022.
You can get the authenticity of Italy with also the
modern
side of it also. And then we went to Rome. After that, we went to Rome. Rome was...
Love Rome.
I love Rome. I mean, that was the second time you were there, but I was like the Colosseum and the Pantheon and all the ruins that are scattered throughout the city. It's like...
It's fucking insane.
It's just... Oh, my gosh. It's massive, all old. Massive, massive monuments. I mean, the oldest building in the world's there. The Pantheon there was... Mm-hmm. It's 1,800 years old. It's just... It's baffling to see that and to really... take it all in. It's really hard to just conceptualize it all and be like, oh my god, I'm actually here. Like,
yeah,
this is what happened here so many thousand years ago, so many hundred years ago. And we did go to the Vatican City, but we didn't go in.
No,
because I'm not very religious, and neither is anybody that we were with. I mean, we met back up with my brother and his girlfriend in Rome. Mm-hmm. So we went to the Vatican City and we kind of just went outside and
chilled
and saw the St. Peter's Square, is that what it's called?
St. Peter's Basilica,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Started saying the Lord's name in vain right beside a priest.
And then when we solidified our place in hell, we left there. And we went to...
Athens.
So right now we're in Athens, a very, very dirty city.
Dirty as balls.
Like, graffiti everywhere, very, not the best... taking care of buildings, a lot of homeless people, the most homeless people. A lot of
homeless people.
Since being in Europe, definitely.
But it is, we went out for dinner last night and we stumbled upon, I think the center where, the Acropolis is or whatever. I'm probably butchering that. No, but
that's right.
Yeah, and, Acropolis. It was very cool. It was packed.
Packed.
But we're also here on Easter. So we are trying to.
Today everything is closed. It's clean Monday. Start of Lent, I think, is what it is. Yeah,
so. Athens has been nice. It's just definitely again, dirtier, graffiti and a lot of homeless people, but that doesn't take away from obviously the beauty of the temples and the
stuff. I got some crazy drone footage as well. I'll be posting that on my Instagram. I
say it one more time. But yeah,
and we what was that, the Acropolis, and then there's the Parthenon?
Parthenon. The Pantheon's younger brother.
Pantheon's younger brother, yeah. So that's just wild. I mean, we're excited to explore Athens a little bit more, and then we're off to Crete, which is a small, not a small island.
It's a huge island.
Large island in Greece, and we're going to be staying there for a month, which is going to be nice. Kind of not be all go for a while. And we're renting a car. But first, before we get that car, we have to take a 9-hour overnight ferry, which Caitlin is extremely excited for.
It's fucking ridiculous. Couldn't just fly, but it's fine.
It's way more expensive to fly than it was to take the ferry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were Anyways. No, we've had a lot of fun so far.
It's financially feasible.
It is financially feasible, but do save up between... $6,000 to $10,000.
If you're doing Europe and you're doing it our kind of Europe, then again, this is our experience. So you may read travel blogs or listen to a different podcast that says something completely different. And I'm sure you can budget really, really hard. But we just didn't want to because we really like food and we really like nice, comfortable beds and hot showers.
Yes, of course. And I mean, again, a lot of those travel blogs that'll tell you can do it in under $4,000 or under $3,000 or whatever the case may be. You definitely can. But you will be staying in hostels and shared rooms. You won't have a lot of privacy.
Yep.
You won't be able to eat as much and all of these authentic type foods in a lot of these places in Europe. I mean, there are places, again, in Southeast Asia and in South America that are a lot cheaper and that you can get the same experience as we are for a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you want to do what we're doing and going to these larger cities, yes, I would budget probably close to... between $6,000 and $10,000. So Yeah, anyways, that's pretty much a great update of what we've been up to recently.
Yep.
Talking about the finances and kind of where we've been. We will hopefully be recording a couple more non-travel type episodes when we're in Crete.
Yes.
And kind of talk, get more to back to
lifestyle
and a little bit more of the general content that we want to be posting when we get back home.
Yeah.
So, I would
say... Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Thanks again for everybody's support and everybody listening and your patience. I know we haven't really been very consistent, but we are going to try to be more consistent when we get home.
Yep.
And we are definitely going to have another episode about Crete when we get there.
Because
I know Crete, we're there for a long time, and there's a lot of cool things to see in Crete.
Yes.
You're really excited to see the pink beach.
Yes, it'll be a time.
Yes, it'll be a time. So anyways, thanks again for listening, guys, and we will be back shortly.
Bye.
Bye.